In the name of God, Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer. Amen.
Amen.
Is it my imagination, or are there more Halloween decorations up this year than ever before? I mean, you know, I've been kind of, not that I keep track of what my neighbors are doing, as Jesus reminds us, love your neighbor as yourself, despite what they might have on their front lawn. But it just seems to me, every year, especially something this year, the number and amount of decorations is going up and down the street, not just pumpkins with candles in them, but we're talking inflatable things, two-story tall skeleton ghosts that move when you walk by them and scare the you know what out of you. Just creepy things that light up, that wiggle, that move, that are gigantic, that are everywhere, that are moving and moaning and rubbing. I mean, it's really something. I was thinking it's a good thing that you all don't have tornadoes as often in the fall, because if one went through all that stuff, it ended up on the East Coast, for sure. Halloween is big. There's no doubt about that. I actually looked up, I heard something about the biggest holiday commercially that we've got going. Well, it's the second biggest holiday commercially that we've got going. Anyone want to take a guess as to how much is going to be spent this year on Halloween things in even billions? Even billions. 10. Yeah, $10 billion is going to be spent this year. Now that's on parties, that's on the decorations, that's on costumes, and of course keep it in mind, those 5-pound bag of Snickers add up, you know, $10 billion. What is the attraction, we might think? What is it about Halloween that is so attractive? What drives its broad appeal for those who share the religious culture of Western Christianity, and that's probably the broadest definition I can give of all of us who share in that tradition. What does it have to do with that? What does it also have to do with religious roots and practices? Does Halloween embody something? Is there something about Halloween, besides just the kitschiness of it, is there something about it inside that maybe does relate to what we are about as Christians? If the universal human experience is fear of death, which one might argue, is that paired with the universal human desire to remain connected somehow in some way with those who have died? Is it those two poles held in tension that bring us to Halloween? Melissa Kirsch in the New York Times wrote just this week, she must have been on Ballard Avenue, my street, although she lives in New York, but nonetheless, here's some thoughts she wrote in. Tombstones are planted in the flower beds. A witch appears to have flown into a tree and is suspended there, brooms sticking from the trunk. Another witch motions sensitive, scaring passerbyers from the hedge. On my otherwise very quiet block in Brooklyn, there's a lot to see this time of year. The spectacle, however, is in some ways delightfully low-tech. I asked a 6-year-old who was talking to the speaking witch if he was scared of her, and he looked at me with that sad look like you grown-ups should know better. It's not really a witch. But in spite of all this, I think maybe Halloween is both a tribute to those who have died and also a holiday for the living. Trick-or-treating, after all, is an embodied activity. You have to show up at somebody's doorstep. A Halloween costume will get you in and is your get-out. You wear it out in the real world where you're interfaced with real people and get real candy. How quaint it all is. For all the ways in which we might find legitimate fault with Halloween, it's too commercial, too insensitive, promotes greed, and advances tooth decay. It is a refreshingly ordinary, worldly, and human celebration. Ms. Kirsch is not writing from a theological perspective, of course, but she's on to something. Halloween embraces scary things, and we try not to be scared. Halloween makes us confront our fear of death when we'd rather not be confronted. Halloween brings us together with the common rituals and connects us anonymously with our costumes, but publicly with our decorations. Outside of the church, I think for most people, all the history and background of Halloween is lost. It has significant religious roots, especially for Anglicans. When Christianity came to the British Isles in the 4th century, and more strongly in the 6th century, the Christian missionaries encountered a deeply religious tradition in Celtic spirituality. You might say the indigenous religion of Ireland and Scotland. Now, there's a lot of buzz these days about Celtic worship and belief, and some of it is a bit of a buzz. I mean, it's become fashionable in many ways to kind of yearn for this mythological Celtic past. But some of it is anchored in truth. One element above all dominates Celtic spirituality, and that is there is a connection between earth and heaven. They are both modes of being, and at various times the connection is less difficult to see. There's an emphasis on the annual cycle of sun and moon, and the importance of our human dependence on the environment. And all of that converges in what was called the last 3 days of summer, October 31st, November 1st, and November 2nd, which the Christians, when confronting it, could do nothing to stop, you see. In their attempts to sweep that all away, they finally said, if you can't beat them, join them. And they converted them to Halloween, All Saints Day, and All Souls Day. That's the derivation of all that we celebrate today, a service in honor of the faithful departed. Halfway between fall and winter, not yet as dark as the nights will be, not yet as short as the days will be, we stop to remember all those who have died. In the time of year when the separation between the living and the dead is the thinnest possible in Celtic belief, a mere whisper of a name would bring the departed into the memories and presence of family and friends. So when we have our prayers in a moment, you will have an opportunity to remember all who have died, not just the saints of God, which we'll celebrate next week, but all those in your memory and your experience who have died. And in keeping with the great tradition of Celtic teaching, the two emphases from Christian faith about death and resurrection, just that, redemption, judgment, and resurrection, are suspended this day, so that unconditional love might relieve unending grief. What was cherished above all in Celtic belief was remembrance, continuity, connection, and presence, in a degree what Jesus would teach later in his teaching brought to the British Isles, love your neighbor as yourself. This is the first and great commandment. For example, the committal service, the prayer in the Celtic burial rite, reads somewhat as follows. Lord God, we give you back this servant whom you have given to us, and nothing about this person's life is now lost, but will be embraced with you forever. We are but dust from the stars. We are the same elements of light. We are formed of the earth. And so now we return to that earth. Be with this soul whom we entrust to you, that light perpetual may shine upon them, and that they may dwell forevermore this day in peace. So before we celebrate All Saints next Sunday and we convert the church back in a way to Easter with white vestments and with alleluias and with songs of praise, let us also remember those who have not been confirmed in grace or received. We pause this All Souls Sunday to simply and lovingly remember those who have died. Our Celtic ancestors and companions in faith gave the world, in a way, all this Halloween. And the church now has a way of embracing and holding close all who have left us. Remember them in the prayers which follow. Remember them this week. They are closer to us than we know. They are especially close to us now at this time of year. May the souls of all the faithful departed, through the mercy of God, rest in peace.